I'm Karina Naber, and this is the AV Experience, a podcast brought to you by Optoma. Today's guest is Dan Sung. Dan is a writer for the well-known and trusted publication What Hi-Fi Magazine. For both brand and customer, expert reviews have been and always will be a crucial aspect of the AV and technology industry. A single review from a trusted source can make or break a product. The opportunity for me to speak with Dan was an invaluable chance to gain an insight into this process. Dan explained that to make it fair, the reviews are undertaken by a team rather than just one person. He let me in on how they choose which products to review, how they put the chosen products through their paces, and how the team ultimately decide the winner.
The process kind of goes by a few different angles. You know, first you want to think, well, what's getting more search? What do people want to look for? What do our readers specifically want to know about? On the other hand, there's also, well, what do we think is going to be good? Because we don't really want to go around giving people 2- and 3-star reviews. It's not good for anybody. So we look around and we think what we're looking forward to, what sounds promising, and we go from there. Some of the fields, you know, like for example, projectors, there's not so many companies, not so many products, so you can get done quite a lot of them.
And could you describe the testing process?
Exhaustive is what I would say. We go through every setting and we play with every setting. Especially when you're looking, I think I'm talking about the AV stuff specifically. So, you know, particularly TVs and projectors and home cinema amplifiers and sound bars and things like that. You know, we're going through every single setting to make sure that we have got what we feel like is the best out of the product. TVs and projectors, it's really trying to squeeze that best possible picture. And, you know, it takes days. And which is not painful at all, actually. It's quite enjoyable. It's enjoyable, the whole thing, really, because you're just kind of playing with it and getting to know the product, and you start to get a sense of the outline of it and what it can do and where its compromises are. And, you know, if you push a bit harder on the contrast, what you're going to lose in tonal detail and things like that. And then you get it where you want it. And at that stage, we tend to compare things to things that we already know are 5-star products, usually award winners. So we'll have a stock of award winners. And you get things that are similarly priced. And you think, well, okay, that's as good as I can get from this. How does it compare to the best that I can get from the best one? And then you get an idea of really how good this thing is in terms of in the grand scheme. And then, you know, you'll make sure you've got all the team in as well to try and play with it too and get what they think is the best from it. And usually it's okay. Usually everyone agrees. But, you know, when things fall in between the gaps, you know, when it's between a 3 or 4 or between a 4 and a 5, there's always heated debate. And so, you know, it never gets personal or dirty, no insults. One person just eventually convinces the other. There's loads of different ways of thinking about it. You can think, well, okay, could I buy something better for the money? Well, maybe. But then you think, oh, okay, if there wasn't something else, am I getting value out of the money I'm spending in this? And, you know, what about if I had this, but I added a soundbar, would that be okay? That's only a few a few hundred pounds more. And then suddenly it's the same price as this better thing, something like that. So, you know, there's lots of different angles around it.
I wanted to know about Dan's journey into AV. He fills us in on his story and offers advice to anyone interested in joining the world of technology journalism.
I used to be an actor before all of this, and this, you know, you spend a lot of time not doing stuff as an actor. So I started writing a blog, which was about football, actually. And the more I did that, the more I thought, actually, this is really what I want to do. So I retrained as a journalist and then discovered that getting a job in journalism was almost as hard as getting a job in acting. But I kind of chanced upon a job in technology, working for Tech Digest. And you know what it's like, you get your first job and it all rolls from there.
And what advice would you give to someone looking to break into the world of tech journalism?
The good thing about writing and journalism and particularly blogging and all of that is that there's not a barrier to doing it. You know, just because you're not employed to do those things, you can do it by yourself and start your own website or blog or whatever it is you want to do. I would start doing that if you get to an interview. You know, if we're looking, in fact, we're interviewing at the moment. I'm seeing 2 people tomorrow. With part of the team. And, you know, both of these people have demonstrated that they're interested in the subject area. I think that is absolutely key. You want that head start. you want to look at CVs and go, well, this person, we can see that they're really, they know a lot about hi-fi, they know a lot about cinema or whatever it is. They're going to hit the ground running. They're interested in the area. Or, you know, like I say, if you're writing your own site already, they're already involved. They're already doing it. They've already got contacts. They have experience, rather than someone just writing cold. So I would say identify the area that you want to get into and then get into it independently. And if you're starting your own site, start small. Don't do like a Tech Radar or a Pocket Lint or something. Don't go, right, I'm just going to cover everything, because it's too big. You can't do it with one or two people. It's impossible. You're better off being an expert in a smaller field. And if you feel that isn't enough, you can make it a bit broader from there.
I asked Dan, what are some of the misconceptions people have about working in both AV and journalism? With AV, he sums it up perfectly. It's an art form, something which I've grown to learn by seeing a product during its testing stage. Our technicians spot improvements that when I began my journey into AV, I would have completely missed. He also tells us about the funniest misconception, which comes from his kids.
Well, my kids think I watch TV all day. In some ways, they're kind of right. I think people think that we're sitting there just getting involved in a film if we're testing out something, and we're not. I'm certainly not. I'm watching scenes I know very well, and I'm finding new ones sometimes as well. But, you know, there are certain films you want to use or certain films you find you don't like using, I think is the point. And I kind of stop seeing the drama of something, and I'm just looking at pictures. You know, I wouldn't say it's like looking at art, but it's something along those lines. It's like looking at color and shading and all those things. And I think it can be the same with hi-fi as well. When you listen to speakers or an amp or something, you know, you are sitting there listening to whole songs, but very often you just listen to little snippets. And you're going back and you change something and going back. So, you know, I think some people think it's this sort of, hey, you know, just sit back and do nothing kind of job. That's probably one of the misconceptions. The other one, I think, about what we do generally in tech journalism, I think people can come to it and think that it's quite a writing job. And in many ways, it's not a writing job. The writing is quite technical. So you have to be careful, I think, when you're writing a review, especially if it's not a 5-star review. You know, the more fun you'll have writing a bad review, probably the more unfair it's going to be. You know, you shouldn't be really like going to town with your metaphors and rubbing someone's nose in the dirt. It's not a good idea. So, you know, if you come to, I think, any form of journalism thinking, I love writing, you've got to be careful that you don't actually want to be a novelist.
Dan updates us on future events what Hi-Fi will be hosting, virtually for now, although we hope in person soon.
There are many big things in the What Hi-Fi calendar, and one of them is the Bristol Hi-Fi Show, because that's very much a core of our special area. And we're a big part of that. And obviously that's not happening, which kind of marks a year, actually, because it was February last year, and everyone was talking about the pandemic and all of this. So there isn't one. So instead, we're doing a What Hi-Fi virtual show, which I believe is going to be in April. So we're going to be recording stuff and doing stuff live as well. And that's quite exciting because it's a show that we are doing ourselves. And it's a kind of a chance to, I think, lift the curtain a little bit on what we do. There's nothing totally secretive. It's just things I've told you about. But then these aren't things that normally we talk about very much because we don't really have a forum to do that. So there's lots of ideas going around, but I'm sure one of them will be doing a tour of our rooms virtually so you can see what we do, have a look around the reference kit and see how we set things up. And like you've asked, you know, how we test stuff, as well as doing a few kind of, talks on how to get the best out of your kit and that kind of stuff as well. And I think a couple of product launches too. So that's rather exciting, really.
And can everyone attend?
Yeah, totally. It'll just be, as far as I'm aware, it's a free thing. You just register and, you know, open up your computer, or your browser or Zoom or whatever we're doing it on, and you're in, which everyone, I would highly recommend it because, you know, even if you're only interested in the first 20 minutes or you can only watch 20 minutes, it'll be a good 20 minutes. It's all going to be quality stuff. Get to see who we are, because some of us are quite, you know, we all hide behind this sort of what hi-fi byline. So we actually get to point your fingers and see if these people are like you or not, and whether you should trust their opinions. I hope we get to do our What Hi-Fi Awards, because we had to, again, we had to do it virtually in November, but hopefully we get to the real thing again, and that's always nice because it's a black tie event. Before I worked for What Hi-Fi, I used to get invited along with guys like you, which was wonderful. And actually, I suddenly discovered being on the other side of it is really quite stressful. It's a great evening, and it's nice to meet people. But yeah, hopefully we get to do that again.
If you'd like to find out more about what Dan and What Hi-Fi are up to, Dan tells us where to look.
Best way is usually Twitter, I suppose, for me personally, or for What Hi-Fi, at Dan Sung, at What Hi-Fi, with a hyphen and a question mark.
Thank you, Dan, for sharing your AV experience with us. You've been listening to the AV Experience, brought to you by Optoma. If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, or would even like to feature, please visit optoma.com for more details. I'm Karina. This is the AV Experience. Catch you in the ether.